the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom once again, everyone. I'm Bill Cloud, and this is our Torah tidbit taken from the Torah portion called Vayishlach, or "and he sent." It's referring to the fact that before entering Canaan, Jacob sent his messengers to his estranged brother Esau, who was residing in Mount Seir, to alert him of Jacob's return. And so our Torah portion begins in Genesis chapter 32, verse 3, and it says this, "Then Jacob sent," and that word is Vayishlach, "then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir, the country of Edom." So now, as this portion begins, we see that Jacob's flight from Esau has now come full circle. Of course, he had to first flee Esau's anger after he obtained the blessing from Isaac, and then when Esau found out about this, he planned to kill Jacob. But now, as he approached Canaan, his messengers are reporting that Esau's already approaching him, and along with him is a 400-man army. So, it was inevitable that Jacob was going to have to confront Esau. Perhaps he didn't foresee this, but he had to confront him in order to enter the land. Now, this confrontation, I believe, is prophetic because it established a pattern that all of Jacob's descendants would have to follow. For instance, when Israel left Egypt, they eventually had to confront Esau, or the descendants of Esau, under Moses' leadership. And then under Joshua, they had to confront the giants and the fortified cities. All of these are obstacles intended to intimidate God's people and impede their progress toward the land. So then we could say that in order to possess the land and fulfill our God-ordained purpose, we also must be willing to confront the obstacles that are before us. There isn't any other way around it. Now, while that is an important element of every believer's faith walk, there is another element to our maturing into what God has called us to be, and that is this. When we are at perhaps our lowest and maybe our most fearful time, that is, as we face the Esau in our life, we may find ourselves also struggling with God. And if the pattern in this portion remains consistent, then it would seem that we can count on coming into a time when we will be faced with the challenge of being transformed from Jacob, that is the heel catcher, into the Prince of God, that is Israel. In Genesis chapter 32, part of this Torah portion, it's recorded for us in beginning in verse 22, that the same night he arose and he took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of Yabbok, that is the creek there. He crossed the ford of the Yabbok, and he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And I believe that's a very important phrase there. He was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now, this is one of those verses that intrigues me because, well, for one, why the wrestling match began is unclear. It simply doesn't tell us. And so then, there are some rabbinic writers who consider this incident to have been simply a vision, a prophetic vision, but a vision. In other words, it didn't really happen. There are still commentators who believe that this is seen or should be seen as merely symbolic. In other words, every person is going to have to struggle with God at one point in time in order that they become whole. And while I would agree with that aspect of things, I believe this actually happened. In fact, the Haftorah for this portion, recorded in Hosea 12, says this, "In the womb he took his brother by the heel, and in his manhood he strove with God. He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel, and there God spoke with us." And so I read this because, what I'm taking from it anyway, is Hosea mentions something that literally happened. That is, Jacob wrestled with Esau in the womb. That's a fact. And then he pairs that incident with something that also literally happened. And that is his struggle with God. In other words, it wasn't just a vision. Now, there's something else that is alluded to that we should consider in this verse from Hosea. Though it seemed that on the surface Jacob had lost his struggle with Esau, he had nevertheless outwitted his brother and another antagonist that we've talked about in previous Torah portions, that is Laban. Yet in both cases, he fled from both of them. So when it came to his struggle with God, he would not be able to avoid that. He would not be able to flee from it. And so it would seem that he had to struggle with God if he was going to overcome all of his fears. Now, as we continue to read, we see that the struggle endures throughout the night, until the breaking of the day, in fact. And it's at that point that something very significant happened, both for Jacob and for those who would follow in his footsteps. It's recorded in Genesis 32, beginning in verse 25. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, that is the angel of the Lord, he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob," or Yaakov. And then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob or Yaakov, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." So here's another verse that's a little intriguing, somewhat puzzling. The puzzling aspect is that the angel could not prevail against Jacob, seeing that the angel was the Lord. However, during the struggle, Jacob's hip was pulled out of joint, causing him to forever walk with a limp. In other words, after his struggle with God, that which could not be avoided, mind you, as Israel, he would never walk the same way ever again. And so we could say that he received a distinctive walk from God, a walk that identified him as Israel, and one that was intended to identify those that were descended from him. Because later, God would say to the nation of Israel as they gathered at Mount Sinai, recorded for us in Exodus 19, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." And so reading between the lines there, what God was saying to them is that he had brought them out from Egypt. He had saved them from Pharaoh's bondage and brought them out from under the servitude of the nations, just as he delivered Jacob from Laban's servitude, so that they would keep his covenant, or let's put it this way, so that they would walk the way he had instructed them to walk, so that the nations would know who they were, meaning that they would know that you belong to God, that you are Israel. Now that reminds me of this point. With this distinctive walk comes a new name, Israel, Prince of God. And more than just being a label, this new name that was given to Jacob was meant to reveal something. You see, Jacob had more than once used his own abilities and his own cunning to outwit his adversaries, symbolized by placing his hand on Esau's heel. In fact, I believe that happened. He placed his hand on Esau's heel in order to protect his head from Esau's heel. So his hand symbolized what he, Jacob, was capable of doing in his own might. But there are some things that are out of his hands. There comes a time that one must call upon the Lord for deliverance and salvation. And therein, ladies and gentlemen, lays the struggle. Will you deliver me? I know that you were with Abraham and Isaac, but are you with me? Will you do for me what you did so often for them? To Jacob, and I would argue to all of those who would find themselves in this same situation, that is, struggling with God, are you going to do this on my behalf? The angel of the Lord promised that because you have come out of the struggle with God and you have prevailed. And by the way, by prevail, I wouldn't read into that that Jacob pinned God down and won the wrestling match, but that in prevailing, he had held on. He had pressed toward the mark, so to speak. He overcame. And so to that person, he says, that is the angel of the Lord, he promised that they would also overcome their adversaries, human, and I believe otherwise. See, this promise that was made to Jacob, I don't believe is just for Jacob, but is for Israel, that is, God's people throughout all generations. As a matter of fact, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, and the Vulgate, translates Genesis 32:28 as saying this, "Thou didst prevail with God, and thou shalt prevail against men." In other words, in the future, you will prevail against your enemies. Is that not what Yeshua meant when he said, "I have given you authority to tread on serpents, on scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you"? Because when we struggle with God, or after that struggle, and the realization that Jacob had actually been struggling with God, our portion tells us this, beginning in verse 30 of chapter 32. "Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." In other words, I didn't die. "And just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip." And so, after this struggle with God, and I'm speaking not just of Jacob, but with us, or for us, like Abraham before him, Jacob passed over into the land. That represents coming into the fullness of the promise with a new name and a new walk, and it would seem a new perspective. And by that I mean, he wouldn't necessarily be called upon to depend on his wits and his own abilities to overcome future obstacles. Because you see, he knew firsthand that in some situations, only God himself can deliver. And what Jacob had come to realize is that God would do it for him, just as he did for Abraham and Isaac. And that, ladies and gentlemen, what I believe this struggle with God is all about. You see, I think there are many of us, like Jacob, who have struggled with men and adversaries. We've overcome situations. We've come through those bad times with persistency, morality, wit. But what happens when we find ourselves in a situation where our gifts are insufficient to bring us through that circumstance? What then? As far as I'm concerned, it's in those situations that doubt and fear begin to creep in. And that is when, potentially, many of us get into trouble, just as certainly as Jacob's descendants illustrate in the wilderness. Because when they doubted, they resorted to complaints and grumbling, idolatry, and even sexual immorality. So instead of doing that, as we all are going to be called to approach and face our nemesis, that thing that wishes to destroy us, the Esau in our life, as we approach that, and in that process, at some point, when we're perhaps the most fearful, we're going to find ourselves struggling with God. Maybe saying, "Hey, I know you can do anything. I know you've done it for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but will you do it for me, Bill Cloud?" That this struggle occurred during the night, I don't believe that's an accident either, because it's when the darkest that we fear the most. Not only that, but looking at it prophetically, the present darkness in this world, the things that are going on right now, is not conducive to being filled with hope and encouragement, but to the contrary, it's conducive to fear and to worry. And so once again, it is in times like these that we might find ourselves struggling with God. And so then we must adopt an attitude that says, "I'm not letting go of you until you bless me." Because we have a promise that if we hold on, the outcome is that as the day breaks, like Jacob, we will find ourselves transformed from just being a heel catcher to a prince of God, Israel. And with that, we come to the end of this Torah Tidbit. Thanks for joining me, and Shalom.
Like what you're hearing?
become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.